We've had a lively morning, wouldn't you say? We're going to talk about life today. One of the foundational principles, if you talk about a biblical faith, is sharing life. You can't boil the Bible down to anything that would not include that reality. It's there. You can't take it out. Living in community with one another is something that we find repeated as a phrase. It's almost like that chorus in your favorite song that you just kind of sing over and over and over again. Well, you hear one another, one another, one another, one another, because it's all about community, at least for the church. Be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another. Greet one another. Agree with one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Submit to one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Teach and admonish one another. Encourage one another. Now, I'm not going to just say that and then get out of here and leave. What I do want to do this morning is I want to accomplish two things in our time together. One thing is I want you to know and understand that it is an absolute essential fact that God exists in community. And two, that He wants us to understand that. And the way that He wants us to understand that is by you and I buying into the truth that we are supposed to engage and commit to community. It's not something that we can just say, it may be for other people, it's just not for me. The Bible doesn't leave us that kind of choice. So, that's where we're going. Let's see how we get there. First of all, I want to share a couple of passages with you that deal with the baseball part of the Bible. Did you know there's a baseball part in the Bible? Help me, Jason. In the beginning. I know, I lost most of you. But here we go. There's a light bulb. There's a light bulb. That's called revelation, by the way. So at the beginning of the Bible, we find the creation story. In Genesis 1:1-5, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day." In that part of the creation story, we see two of the persons of the Trinity clearly mentioned. God, not called Father, but He's God, and the Spirit. You with me so far? All right, next passage. In Colossians, New Testament, the Apostle Paul describes who Jesus is. It's very important that we understand that this works in tandem with what we just read. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. All right, we've got one more. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1 just a little bit later. Here we see It says that God said, Dusty quoted this earlier at 9:30, and if you'd been here at 9:30, you would have heard him say that right at the end of 9:30. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, us, our, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So why do I share this rendition, these passages about essentially what took place in creation? Well, as you look, first of all, like I just emphasized, clearly there's a plural engaged here. It's not one. There's more than one. Us. Our. We see the Father making the choice to create. We're seeing the Spirit doing the work of moving along and creating. And then here we see in Colossians also the Son, who is like the architect, who's the one through whom all things are created. And there's nothing that exists. You or I or these pews or these walls, the stuff that we're made of, it was all out of Jesus' creative plan. So that through Him and in Him, all things would be for, to glorify God the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Spirit. All three working together. So what we see is that God clearly exists. Now, you can use all kind of analogies if you want to. You can say, oh, God was the one who bankrolled the project. You can say the Holy Spirit was the one that provided the energy and the power to create it, and that Jesus was the architect, if you want to go that far, which would make us the managers, because it's been given to us to take care of. But the idea, the truth, that God exists in community is something that we have got to grasp and understand. It's not just a truth, it's not just a principle, it's a reality that shapes how we understand not only God, but how we understand who we are. Because if God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He endeavored to do this great undertaking of creating not only the earth, but creating the universe that we understand, there are certain things that we have to get in this story. Number one, there was a unity of purpose. Everybody was in. Everybody was bought in. There was nobody that said, well, I think I'll do this, I think I'll do that. No, I don't want to do that part. There was a oneness of mind. They were all together. Secondly, not only were they all together, but there was an interdependence. Even in the God that we cannot comprehend, who has chosen to reveal Himself to us, whatever we can understand of Him is because He's allowed us to. And in that revelation, He has showed us that there's an interdependence even amongst who He is. That ought to tell us something about how we ought to be with one another too, don't you think? If He said, let us make those people in our image, the whole idea is that we too would have that same kind of unity and interdependence. How do I know that? Why do I believe that? Well, that leads me to the second thing. Second thing I want to talk about. And that is that God created us to be in community. He created us to be in community for a couple of reasons. But let's look at the passages first, okay? Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Apostle Paul's writing to Ephesians, talking to them about how God has worked and is going to develop His people to grow them up. So he says, so Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now this reveals to us very quickly that the purpose of God creating us to be in community was so that we would grow up all together and individually to be like Jesus. And if you've been around here long enough, you know that I've said this a multitude of times. God's greatest desire for each one of us is not that our lives be easy, not that we necessarily are fat and happy, but that we become like Jesus. That's His greatest and highest purpose for us. So if we're looking for a get-out-of-jail-free card, to get out of the troubles and the trials and the difficulties of life, that's not in the book. What is in the book is that He wants us to be like Jesus. Then we will no longer be infants if the church is functioning the way He has created us to be, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. For Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So He's already introduced this metaphor of the body to describe the community. We're going to see that again in just a minute. A couple other passages. John, let's go to that. So when we go to this next one, we talk about God's given us a community to be a part of. But before I get there, we cannot forget and leave the fact that He created us to be in community. Why? You tell me. I just told you. Why did He create us to be in community? So that we would be what? We would grow up and be more like Jesus. Okay? I cannot emphasize that enough. Also, that we'd be in this relationship with God and that we would depend upon Him to do that in our lives. Then we can talk about the fact that He's given us community in order for us to share our lives with one another. And that's where we're going with Romans chapter 12. He says here in verses 4 through 8, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace gift given to each of us. And if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Are you seeing how this is working all together? It looks just like the Father planned. There's community, interdependent, unified, focused on His purpose, bringing about what He wants to do in the world. There's one more passage I want to look at. This one's from 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, Peter talks about the same kind of thing. He says each of you should use your whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. Now, have you ever thought about that? That when you and I speak, and we're trying to give somebody advice, that we ought to think the very words of God. That's kind of heavier than we like to think sometimes. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. What you'll see, as we see how the way that the body, the church, is supposed to look like, this whole idea of community that God Himself lives within. As we look at that and we reflect on that, you see a lot of teaching, a lot of language that deals with investing. Giving what we have and placing it into the lives of other people. And I ask you, is that not in keeping with God's character? The idea that what we have, has been given to us not to hoard or possess, but it's been given to us to invest into other people. And that's what community is all about, at least as best I understand it. So straight from God's heart, straight from God's essence, we see who He is expressed and who He has made us to be and what He has given us to share our life with each other. Now, am I using big language today? Or are we getting it? Because it's really, I think it's simple. So, what do we see happening when the church began? We know the church had its beginning on the day that the Spirit came. Jesus had left, and He said He would send one to come alongside of us. And He said He would teach us everything that Jesus said, and He would convict us of our sin, and that when the Spirit came to live in us, that things would change. And so at Pentecost, as we look in Acts chapter 2, we see that happening. And at the end of that chapter, once the Spirit came and once the Word was preached and the Spirit lived within the hearts of the people, it had more than just a God and me dimension. It had a God and us dimension too. And look what happened in Acts chapter 2 as we see what recorded and took place right after the Spirit fell and Peter preached his great first sermon. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying favor of all the people. They got it. When God invaded their lives, they understood it was about community. There's no description in the early church of anybody riding off in the sunset with a black mask on by themselves. No Lone Rangers. They needed one another. They cared about one another. They invested in one another. They were so close to one another that it was like they were one body. And the last time I looked, my big black my toenail on my big toe is still black. And where my son hit me with a line drive. Guess what? When my toe hurt, my head went. And every part of me, even though my finger wasn't smashed by the line drive, every part of me had to take a few minutes and walk to keep from saying things I didn't want to say. Because that's the way the body works. You get the illustration. We are a part of one another. You can't just act like you're not. And that's what we were created for. That's how we grow up. If we do not understand community, and we don't invest in community, and we don't buy into community, and we don't commit to community, we don't grow up. So, I have a statement. Community means it's not about me. It's not. So that's one thing that I remember that Rick Warren got right in Purpose-Driven Life was, it's not about me. That was it. It's not about me. Because It's about us. Because of Him. Because of Jesus. Because of what the Father has revealed. It's not about me. And isn't that what Jesus did when He died on the cross? He showed us it's not about me. It's about us. Because of Him. I know that. Community is not just about us being here today. Community is about growing up, and it's about sharing life. And we have to be a bit vulnerable. We have to be a bit transparent. And we do have to be intentional in order to see that happen. You know, without Christ, honestly, there are communities, okay, of all types that exist in the world. And they have values, and they have standards, and they have goals. But all those communities, their standards, their values, and their goals, when this world passes away, so will their values, their standards, and their goals. They are bound in time and bound to this place. But the community that we have been purchased for and invited to share in is eternal. And if we are willing to live God's way in community, what we'll find is something that our brothers and sisters in Christ in other places in the world get that we do not yet get. The community that we're called to is indestructible. The community that we're called to be a part of is powerful. Our brothers and sisters in China who are under persecution for not buying into a church that's not really a church, but meeting together in homes under veil of cover, I'm telling you, they understand the value of community in a way that we do not get. And they understand how precious it is, and how it is so in sync with God's heart. And we take far too many times the gifts of God for granted. So, I have two questions. Simple and painful. One, do I have God's values when it comes to community? We've been looking at them. We've heard what they are. What am I living? Because what I'm living is what I really believe. Secondly, am I committed to community? Now listen to me. As long as I have been a part of this congregation, we've changed the way we understand what that means, quite frankly, a lot. There was once upon a time where in order to be a part of the congregation, we had classes you went to. And then we had a time where you kind of signed on every year, and that meant that you were going to be a part. And quite frankly, we're just different. These days, we don't even go through those mechanisms. You know why? At least I'll tell you what I think. Dusty can go yeah or no. Okay, and it's because the church is who the church is. If your name's on a list somewhere, that doesn't mean squat. If you want to be a part of the church, you're going to live it. You're going to act like it. And you're the church. You're the people of God. Called a community. And that's who you are. So to have your name on a list so that when you die, somebody goes, oh, they were a member of that church, what good does that do in eternity? It doesn't do any good for eternity at all. So we don't do it. Do you get it? You want to be the church? Be the church. Live in community. That's what you're going to be doing forever if you're in Christ. Are you committed to community? Okay, I'm just going to let you marinate for a minute or two. Think about the two questions. Let God deal with you about the two questions. I'm also not calling you to say, oh, today we need to make this decision that we are going to now be a part of the institutional church. Fooey on that. We love you. We want you here. We want you to be a part of who we are. Because we want you to grow up in Christ, and quite frankly, we need your gifts and you need your gifts. We need our gifts. We need to work with one another. We need that. But this is not about walking down an aisle and saying a prayer or walking down an aisle and signing anything. Because what matters is your heart and who you are and what your commitments are. Does this make sense? And the truth is, we've got to be committed to community, to be who Christ wants us to be, to reflect His glory, because that's who He is. And here we are. September, 2016. And you get to hear the questions about being committed to the character of God. And I'm asking you to commit. I'm asking you to say, well, I want to be committed, and I haven't been committed, and I know I need to be committed, and I'm willing to be committed. And you talk to God, and you say, Lord, I want to commit. Show me how to commit. Show me what that looks like. Help me understand. I'm going to throw one more dimension in this. This is something that was so far out of my understanding because of my background and understanding what church was about. Church is about the church being the community. And you know, how many hours do we have here on a Sunday together? Maybe if you come at 9:30, a couple. You come at 11, one. That's not being community. Community is building relationships that extend beyond scheduled times for institutional gatherings. It's about sharing life. It's about having people you can call up on the phone and say, how you doing today? Or texting. Yeah, texting. And you say, what's up today? If there's nobody that you have in your life that will do that for you, will you please, please realize that that's something God wants in your life, that He's called you to. All right. All I have now is simply the desire to see God do a great work in your life. I know Dusty and Dane have the same desire. We talk about it all the time. We pray about it all the time. So I'm calling you to listen to God and let Him understand the role that community has, that you need, and what He wants to say to you about that, and that you'll commit to Him. Let's pray. Father, sometimes I feel like what I say gets in the way. Forgive me if that's true. Lord, I just want you to move. I want you to speak to your people. I desire for your people to listen to you, to hear what you're saying to them, and for them to say yes to you. And Lord, I'm praying for each one of us as we're in this moment of considering what this means for us. Lord, I'm praying that you would make that clear. And that, Lord, all the other things that you've been speaking to us about, Lord, if those are the decisions we have to make first, that you would set those in very, very firmly in our hearts and minds right now. So that whatever we need to do right now, so that we can move on to the commitment question. Lord, we can do that. Father, I thank you that your body is not an earthly institution governed by men, but that it is your Spirit moving in the hearts of people, and that Jesus is the head. Lord Jesus, we bless your name, and we thank you that you are present with us even now. You have cards with you. If you came in, you got a card, and you want to write on your card that this is the day I'm telling you, I'm telling God I want to commit to community. I'm asking you to write that on that card and tell somebody. If you don't want to write it on a card and you just want to call and talk to somebody, you do that. But I encourage you to act on what God is showing you today and not just let it be. Because He has so much more for us, so much more for you. We're going to leave the altar open for a while. Dusty, Dane, and I, we're always available up here. And if you want to come and speak to us and pray about this or something else, we're here for you. Because this is community. You move now. In just a minute, we are going to end in a different way than what we normally end. I'm just giving you a heads up. Okay? As we go, I want us to go together. Gary's going to help us do that. So as Gary goes, we're going to follow Gary. We're going out together as the people of God to go be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world. So Mr. Gary, hit it. Do not leave.